Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, titled Getting to Know Epaphroditus. People who know their Bible will be familiar with the name Epaphroditus, but it's a shame that a good number of Christians will go to heaven and meet Epaphroditus there at some point, never having paid any attention to what was said about him in the Bible. And with this study, we close out our look at Philippians chapter 2 as we've gone verse by verse through the first two chapters of Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin this study in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, titled Getting to Know Epaphroditus. This is part 1 of 2. Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to pick up verse 25, if you can turn your Bibles there. Philippians 2, verse 25. And we'll try to have you out of here by 2 o'clock. Amen. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And it's been a good time of fellowship already. Number of people out that had planned on being here, so I just pray that if they've come down with a cold or something else, that you'll have your hand upon them. And we thank you for those who are here, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit would make us all good students. Help us to listen. Help us to take note and to apply this to our hearts. Apply this to our lives, the way we live. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Philippians 2, we're going to finish the chapter. And for the sake of our visitors, just explain that we go through the books of the Bible. I discovered some years ago in ministry that one of the reasons why the church members don't know the Bible is because they are not taught the Bible. And I figure if Jesus said, man shall live by every word of God and not by bread alone, then we should teach every word. And so we go verse by verse through the books. And the idea is that if you come faithfully here and you hear this teaching, then when you go home and read your Bible, you'll understand it better. And that improves your relationship with the Lord. How many of you know one of the greatest issues in relationships is communication? That's not just with your spouse or your siblings or your children or your parents or whatever situation you're in. That's with God. One of the greatest issues in a relationship with God that people have is lack of communication. They don't pray the way they ought to. And they don't read the Bible the way they ought to. Some of them read the Bible, but they don't read it the way they ought to. They read it like a cookbook. And so they decide today they want to feel good about something, so they go looking up that one verse they saw on a bumper sticker. And then they'll look, next day they feel a little down, they want to fill up, they'll look that verse up that they heard back in Vacation Bible School years ago. Those are great for those little pick-me-ups, but that's not to study to show thyself approved unto God. See, and so that's why we're finishing up chapter 2. We've gone verse by verse through Philippians. And the title of the study is Getting to Know Epaphroditus. Say that with me. Epaphroditus. Now, did any of you pull a muscle trying to say that? Epaphroditus. Now, it's not a name of a disease or a health condition. It's not. It's a, you know, tinnitus, arthritis, rhinosinusitis,
Epaphroditus. See what I'm going there? And people hear that name, the first thing you think of is a medical condition. Yeah, it's all Greek. Huh?
Did you make up the third one?
No, that's the real thing. And pray you don't get it, because I have an in-law who's about to have his face opened up so they can go ahead and take care of that kind of thing. So verse 25 is where we want to pick up, where we're introduced here to Epaphroditus. If you would read verse 25 with me. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Now, in one verse, he said a mouthful there about this Epaphroditus. It's quite a complimentary description given to us by Paul. And I don't think Paul is given to exaggerations, because there's times where Paul will tell you so-and-so is just a rotten, filthy liar or a heretic or whatever. Paul is honest. And so I think all these things he's saying about Epaphroditus are not given to exaggeration. I think it's a clear, specific explanation of exactly who this Epaphroditus is. Paul says he's my brother. What in the world? Yeah, that'd be epic, wouldn't it? I'm trying to figure out why that came on. It's Julie Andrews. Do you want to hear her sing? All right. So, I'm going to have to... I'm going to update a couple of slides while I'm talking. But, just a couple of slides here. But, what he's telling you is that he considered Epaphroditus his brother, meaning he was the real deal. And isn't it nice whenever one of the greatest compliments you can get from a fellow believer is when you're not around and someone asks about you and they just basically say, he's my brother, he's the real deal. And that is one of the greatest compliments you can ever get from another believer, and one of the worst comments you can get is when someone says, ask about you, and they say, "Well, he claims to be a Christian," and Epaphroditus didn't have that problem. And I'm almost done editing here. But I got one more. Yeah, it's all the green ones. Let's see. Oh, that one's fine. So no more Julie Andrews. So there's not really any way you know it unless you pay somebody to spy or something. But you can kind of, you should be able to. You know, you're smart. All of you are smart enough to, get up in the morning and take care of yourself, get cleaned up, and you know when you're hungry and you eat, you make your way through life. So you kind of know how people look at you. And there's some people who look at, they won't face reality, and they just live in this dream world. And they never really take inventory and think about, what do other people think of me? Now listen, you shouldn't worry about what everybody thinks about you being a Christian and taking a stand for the truth. And you're like, well, I don't want people not to like me, so I'm not going to take a stand. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do your other brothers and sisters in Christ take your profession seriously? Like Epaphroditus. Everyone took him seriously. Paul said, he's my brother. And we're getting to know a man that we will meet in person very soon, by the way.
Amen.
See, it's one of the things, it's a shame that there's a lot of people who you can walk to. You know how they walk out on the street with a microphone, they walk up to people, and they'll ask them questions they ought to know? and they have no clue. They used to call it jaywalking because Jay Leno's, I think, the one that made it famous. But he'd walk up to people and say, right now, you know, or he'd walk up and say, well, who's the first president of the United States? And people say, Abe Lincoln. I'm not kidding you. They'd say, well, when we won our independence in 1776, what country did we win our independence from? They'd say, Germany. Yeah. And some people said, well, who were we fighting in the Revolutionary War? And they say, the South. That's true.
Depends on which revolution.
American Revolution. And so you walk up to people and say, they're Christians. Been Christians for years. Who's Epaphroditus? Bless you. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you sneezed. They have no idea. And that's what I think God said every word for a reason. And I think it's important we look at this guy, Epaphroditus. And one of the reasons is, if you are a Christian today, you're going to meet him.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be embarrassing for Epaphroditus to walk up to somebody in heaven and say, hi, I'm Epaphroditus. Oh, my name's Greg. And now, tell me a little bit about yourself. He says, well, you might have read about me. And I'm like, well, why's that? I'm in the Bible. How embarrassing would that be? Oh, yeah, I can't lie in heaven. You know, down here would say, oh, yeah, I just forgot. You're not going to lie in heaven. So you just look at him and say, yeah, I'm a dork. I pretended to read my Bible my entire life, and I really didn't. So I have no idea who you are. You got it's truth serum in heaven. You're not going to lie. So then you'd be open your Bible and say, oh, yeah, there you are, Epaphroditus. Yeah. Paul said you're his brother. That's a good. He also said this, companion in labor. He referred to Epaphroditus as his companion in labor. In other words, he's a real worker. That has to be brought up. That has to be discussed among Christians. Because folks, I can tell you in my going on 30 years in ministry, but it's just a well-known fact. They've even done studies that usually about 10% of the people do 90% of the work in a church.
Yeah, amen.
10% of the people do everything. And then, you know, when I say the other 10%, of the work, it's, you know, usually nominal things that aren't really needed anyway. It's just the way it is. And through the years, I've had to kind of deal with that. I've told the story before. Some of you might remember it. I was pastoring a church, and I had to work. I was bivocational, and I was working long, hard hours. The grass, we had an acre, and it just kept growing. And I kept telling everybody, I can't. I've been working sun up to sun down. Somebody's going to have to come over here and cut this grass. And this woman, she come up to me just angry. She says, this is shameful. This is a disgrace. People driving past this church building and seeing that grass get that high. And I told her, I said, well, you let me know when you want to cut it, and we'll make sure that everybody knows you're going. And she's, well, I didn't say I was going to cut it. I said, well, then you shouldn't be complaining. She's able-bodied. She cut her own grass. And she's going to complain about the church. Hey, I take that as she was volunteering. Well, you know what she did? She showed up Thursday evening with her daughter, teenage daughter, and her daughter trimmed with the push, and she rode the lawnmower around, and she cut that grass. And several, at least a few of the men, drove by that church every day, and they saw them doing that. And so then we got up Sunday. I got up and I said, I want to thank so-and-so and her daughter for coming and cutting the grass and taking care of what we couldn't get any of the men to do. That's all I said. And you know, I never, ever had that problem again. The men felt so ashamed that they started showing up and cutting the grass. Folks, I mean, what's the old saying? Talk is cheap.
Amen.
You know, if you love the Lord, you should be doing something. And I'm not even just talking about the local church. I'm talking about outside these walls. Do you drive like the devil? Are you rude to people all the time? Are you looking for things you can do to help people? Those kind of things. It flows through your entire life. And I think Epaphroditus was just, we're going to see, he's one of those guys who was just always looking to be used of the Lord. He was called this, a fellow soldier. It's right there in your verse there, verse 25. Fellow soldier. Means he was a real fighter. Now that didn't mean he went to the bars and got drunk, you know, and picked fights. He was a fellow soldier. Well, you ask, what's that mean? Well, fellow soldier meant he was a fighter like Paul. So we look to Paul, and what did Paul do? Paul fought the devil on his turf.
Amen.
Paul preached the gospel. Paul rebuked error.
Amen.
Paul took a stand for the truth. Paul loved people who needed that love. And the old preacher joke is, you comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Right. Yeah.
That's what Paul did. And Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier. So he wasn't a pushover. And folks, when I say you should try to be a good Christian and help people out, that doesn't mean you're their doormat.
Amen.
I've seen some well-intentioned people just ruin their lives because they let people walk all over them, take everything they got. That's not what... You know when someone's starting to take advantage, and that's when you got to take a stand there too. Because you don't want to be an enabler. You don't want to be an enabler because that's not love. When you love somebody, you help them where they need the help. You don't enable them to kill themselves.
Amen.
I'm from Southern Ohio. Drugs, it's just ravaging. And a lot of the guys my age have been killed by kindness. Some of their own friends and family have let them just take advantage of them so they could keep buying their drugs. And then they overdose. And that's not what this is talking about. But it is whenever you see you can jump in and help and really do something for somebody. Something that's really helping them. Fellow soldier. He was a fighter. I think these guys had to fight all this error. Paul talks about how the Jews were still mocking and blaspheming Jesus. The Jews that had not received Jesus Christ. Paul was a Jew. There were plenty of believing Jews, but there were a bunch who weren't, and they were still mocking and blaspheming and attacking the Christians and trying to keep them from being able to have meetings like this. And on top of that, then you had Rome and the Roman government and soldiers coming in and just attacking. You had to be a real soldier to keep on keeping on in this day.
Amen.
And folks, it's kind of getting that way here. The more we don't hate anybody, but we take a stand against killing unborn babies.
Amen.
And they're trying to pressure people into not saying, we don't hate anybody, but we take a stand against this thing called gay marriage.
Amen.
And we will continue. And we don't hate anybody, but we take a stand against lowering the age of consent so that grown adults can have sex with young people.
Amen.
You say, what are you talking about? You better pay attention. That's what they're trying to do next.
Yeah.
And on and on and on it goes. We take a stand with the Bible.
Amen.
You better be a soldier.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're going to crumple and fold right up.
Yep.
Epaphroditus was also says he that ministered. And in between that, I really should mention it says he's your messenger. And that again is right along the ministry.
Yep.
He's a minister. He was the word means servant.
Yep.
Again, it doesn't mean slave.
Amen.
Amen.
And that goes along the lines with not being somebody's doormat. But you don't let people turn you into their personal slaves.
Amen.
But you serve. We studied earlier, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who came as a man to serve. And beyond serving, then died for our sins. And of course, no one here has been called upon to die for anybody's sins. But you can have that mind of service, that mind of wanting to serve and be a blessing. Haven't you heard people say that through the years? I just want to be a blessing to somebody. That's a great attitude.
Amen.
You should want to be a blessing. I just have to say this, it'll change your life if you just go through life thinking of how you can serve. I know I've said this a few times over the last few weeks, but I just see so many Christians in life, and I'm not pointing at anybody in this building right now, but if the shoe fits, you can wear it. But I'm talking about in my daily walk, daily life, so many professing Christians, and they really are unhappy. And the reason they're unhappy, because they are their own little God. They're always worried about themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not to be always thinking of me, me, me. What do I want to do? This is what I want to do. This is my thing. I want to do this. That's just the opposite. Now, there's times where you got to get away. There's times you can take a break. But generally speaking, through the day, your work day, your school day, your retirement day, looking for things to do for the Lord and in serving others for the Lord. Look at verse 26. Now, we continue. He says, "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." Think about that. He's the kind of guy who's laying, and you know, anytime you got sick in this day and age, it could be the deathbed. I mean, people died of the diseases that we've been kind of gotten used to just being able to get over because of modern technology and medicine. And a lot, they did, you know, they had the Word of God and they had revelation about God and salvation and prophecy, but this didn't provide medical information. And so Christians were dealing with the culture they lived in. You know, we talked about the first president of the United States. He died young because they drained his blood. They thought that was top, that was cutting edge medicine there, brother. "And we're going to give you the best medicine money can buy. Charlie, lay down here so we can bleed you. And we're going to cut you here and cut you there, and then we're going to catch your blood in a bowl." How would that sound? Sounds bad. So he's sick, and when they talk about somebody being sick, they're not talking about the sniffles. And he could be thinking he's done, he's almost dead, but who's he thinking of? He longed after, he's Southern, can you see that? He longed after y'all. That's what it says. That's what I said. "For he longed after y'all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." So many times I've gone to visit in a hospital or a nursing home or a shut-in in their home, and they're laying there just in a pathetic condition, hooked up to this or that, and just, you know, they're probably not long for this world. And they walk in, and I walk in and say, "Well, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm wonderful. How are you?" "You're wonderful. You look wonderful." Yeah, I don't say that, but they're laying there, you know. What are they thinking of? They don't want you to be uncomfortable. They're laying there sick unto death, a lot of them through the years I've visited, and they look at you, "How are you doing? Are you doing okay? I worry about you, and I pray about you. I just pray for you. I just want you to, you know, I came here to be a comfort to you."
Amen.
And all they can do is think about being a comfort to me. What a wonderful attitude. I just hope and pray I can be like that. Because I think when I get sick, Jenny will tell you, I'm a pain in the neck. Yeah, I'm sick all the time. I try not to be a burden, but she does. She just runs, and I'm going to brag about her sitting there. I don't want her to get uncomfortable or anything, but she's got the, my wife has that attitude. She's just so always trying to, you can tell she's always trying to feed people. Just look at me. I always want to feed people. Problem is, I take her up on it almost every time. That's where the problem is. But as that same question, you ever know somebody like that? It's just amazing, people like that. Verse 27 continues, and it tells us he wasn't just feeling a little down in the dumps or anything. He says in verse 27, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Paul loved Epaphroditus.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. Epaphroditus made himself lovable. You know, there's some people that when they pass on, you're thinking, whew, they're out of their misery and we're out of ours. I'd ask if you know somebody like Epaphroditus and you know somebody like that. So miserable and always making everybody else miserable. And if they're saved, you can't help but think everybody's better off that they've gone on. And that's the opposite of what emotion and feeling that Epaphroditus pulled out of Paul. Paul said, look at his words, I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul loved Epaphroditus, but don't forget Epaphroditus made himself lovable. Some people, I'm not, again, not everybody. I was lonely many years ago. I spent some lonely holidays. You want to know why? You like to hear somebody be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm trying to think of this, 88, the holidays around 1988. I was alone and lonely. You know, these people I talk about, or I say people who feel depressed and alone and everything. I've experienced that. You want to know why? Because I was a jerk. I was a jerk. I was a self-centered, wicked jerk. I was alone because I made myself unlovable. People who loved me even just couldn't stand to be around me. Couldn't stand to see me killing myself, basically, with my lifestyle, the way I was living. Something happened. About a year later, I got saved.
Amen.
I didn't go around advertising or anything, but suddenly I wasn't lonely anymore. Amen. You want to know one big reason why? The churches, Christians. I wasn't lonely anymore because I went to church and I met all these people. And that opened up a whole new world for me. I had a family. My family's wonderful. And when I got saved and stopped being a jerk and started repairing relationships, it was great. I got along with my family. Go to the birthdays and the Christmases and the Thanksgivings. Great. But then this whole new family, the family of God. And what's funny is, I think Otis and I were talking about this Thursday night, that it's something when you run into somebody who's a Christian you've never met, and it's brother.
Amen. Amen.
You feel like you've known them forever.
Amen.
Why? That's that spirit in you, the spirit in you, the spirit in me, the spirit in you, the spirit in you, and the spirit in me. It's that you hear that tie that binds. That's what it is. It's an amazing thing. There have been times, you know, I don't get all super spiritual or anything. I try not to sound like I think I'm something, but there's been times where I can just look at somebody, not even talking, just look at them and think, that's a Christian, that's a brother, that's a sister. And then I go up and start talking to him and it's confirmed. There's also times where I've just looked at people and thought, that ain't good. I always have to say, I'm not looking at Charlie because I'm thinking that about him. But Charlie knows exactly what I'm saying. We've talked about it. We've had those experiences where you're looking at him and you're thinking, oh boy. And then all you have to do is talk to him to confirm it. But isn't it wonderful to have the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God in me, brothers and sisters, that family? It's great. And Epaphroditus would be sorely missed if he were to have died. And I just want to